Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, we're going to be getting into an interesting conversation. And I say interesting because it tickles a number of, different areas that I'm personally interested in. Obviously, there's the business aspect, but, as a geek and a numbers nerd at heart, it's always great when you have conversations about how businesses can make effective use of data. It is interesting, we recently had a conversation about how brands can make use of some of that data. So for today, we're joined by the Hive Group, and we are joined by Yao Jumo, who is the CEO, and we're going to get a sense of some of what's going on in the market and some of what they are doing to make their mark thereof. Yao, greetings to you today.
Greetings, Odiwa. How are you doing?
Alive, good, well, and thriving on this side, hoping the same for you. I think a good place for us to start, we always want to get a sense of the businesses that we're dealing with. So the elevator pitch when it comes to the Hive Group, what are we looking at here?
So the Hive Group has been going now for almost 10 years. We started as a creative agency, and now we are fully integrated technology-led agency using data insights and analytics to inform how we create content and how we package our creative. So that is who we are.
All right. So when it comes to that type of thing, maybe one of the things that I want to maybe as a jumping off point, when it comes to data, right? And we often hear of companies, talking about how we need to make use of data. We need to be, right now, everyone and their dog is talking about AI. And one of the things that they often talk about is, the value of your AI is premised on, how good the data is that is underpinning, said AI. For the last decade or so, the big wave was around data analytics. And once again, these data sets were very important. For the work that you are, doing as the Hive Group, when we talk about the data, right, what is this data and what are the sources? And I ask that because there's often a lot of things said about the fact that, African businesses don't have access to or don't generate the best data sets. So I'm here to test out that theory with you to say, is that indeed the case? And, what are you seeing in the market? Because for someone that's been in business for a decade, it means that, you're doing it somehow.
Well, so data is all over. There are multiple data points. Every time you interact with someone, that yields some sort of data, right? But our challenge on this continent is our ability to package it properly and use it to service our clients properly. So we've got the data, but it's very, very fragmented. It's not packaged properly. It's not, and as such, it's not visualized properly. And that affects the interpretation thereof. And that affects how we could use that data. So that has been the challenge as we traverse on the continent. We've seen it in this country, which is slightly better in South Africa. But in other parts of the continent, you get data from transactional data, demographics, you get psychographics, you get all these things, but we haven't integrated them in such a way that informs better decision making for the brand and for the consumer. And that is why and how we have now split our business into two, from the content and the creative part of the business and the analytics and the MarTech part of the business, which is Tech Hive. And we have Idea Hive that does all the creative and the content and part. And Tech Hive uses all sorts of data and tools to inform how we deploy content and creative to consumers.
Because we're a business platform, one of the things that we're always wanting to understand is some of the financial aspects around some of these things. So one would be curious to understand how much money, if you know there's a figure or a ballpark of some sort, are businesses on the African continent leaving on the table by not taking advantage of some of these data-driven approaches, like the ones that you advocate?
We haven't done research into what we're leaving on the table. However, I can safely tell you that if you don't understand your consumers, you are missing something. In other words, if you are treating your consumers or your customers as one huge homogeneous group, you are missing the target, right? So what is important to ensure that you get your return on investment is to ensure that you segment your customers, you understand them via their demographics, psychographics, and interest. And based on that, you will then be able to service them properly. So what we have seen with some of our clients is that we go in and they will say to us, just give me a digital series on whatever, and then on a campaign, and you will tell them let's break it down, because you've got different segments of customers and audiences and you have to serve them properly. So if you don't do that, if you don't segment your consumers and you don't treat them according to their preferences and their interests and all those things, you're definitely leaving some money on the table for them. And what we have seen with one of our clients as well, let me take that again, because that the second part I'm going to tell you is the interesting part. So that just came. So what we've identified with one of our clients is that when we segmented their audiences and we started treating them, serving them with the right content, the right offer, on the right platform at the right time, we actually saw that the top end of the structure were coming to their shops 22 times in a month. So if we hadn't done that exercise, we wouldn't have known about it. We would have just plastered them with anything. And like we say in our business, we call it spray and pray. So you spray and you hope that something will catch, right? But when we segmented, we now realize that this percentage, even though they were the smallest percentage of the audience, however, the spend there was high. So we then served them more with their preferences and stuff like that. And that is what is the key thing when it comes to this whole approach to data-driven marketing?
I'm not too sure what your client book looks like, but we do understand, I guess, the approach that you are talking about, because on this platform we recently spoke to the team over at Mars, and they're famous for a couple of brands that are big in the food and snacks type of market, and also cat food, so Snickers, Skittles, M&M's, that type of thing. And they were actually telling us how much work they actually put into understanding where exactly gum, for example, just on gum, they have entire knowledge about who's buying gum, where, at what time, in what packets, and all of that. Is that the type of thing that you are sort of talking about, to sort of say that's the type of approach that you are now saying to maybe other businesses, if you aren't doing this already, then this is what you must be doing to actually understand what's going on?
100%. If you're not doing it, you're leaving money on the table. And not only are you leaving money on the table, you're missing your consumers. You're missing them in a very great way. We are all not the same, right? We may stay in the same area, probably in the same complex, in the same estate, but we are completely different. We may be the same age group, but your interests are different. My interests are different, right? Even you will see in families where there is a typical family of maybe a dad, a mom, and two kids. If you look at how content is served to them, you will see that the mom's interest is completely different, the dad's interest is completely different, and the kids' interests are also different. And if the kids are even like teenagers, you and there are, say, a boy and a girl or even same gender, you would notice based on their preferences that the content served to them is completely different. It's so critical in this day and age for you to get return on your marketing spend. Have to ensure that you got tools that enable you to understand your customers. So if you are not doing that, I can almost for certain tell you that you are missing your consumers, and you are missing, as a result, you are missing their spend. And if you're missing spend to your earlier point, then you are losing, you are leaving money on the table.
Maybe you could talk us then to say, in a typical sense, how does an engagement with the brand, you know, typically go and typically work? Let's say I am the CEO of Gavaza Enterprise, and maybe I am making Millie Meal as my product. Am I coming to you? Are you coming to me? And in the meeting, how are things typically going? Am I asking, hey, y'all, please help me to sell more of my Millie Meal? Or are you coming and saying, hey, Mudiwa, do you actually know that you could be selling more Millie Meal if you did A, B, C, and D?
So it's the latter. It's we come to you and we say to you, I think you could be selling more Millie Meal if you did the following. So we've invested in a MarTech stack. So MarTech stack is basically marketing technology. And to your earlier point about AI. So we've got a part of the tool that the stack that does insights. So that is on the qualitative side. So we can tell you where you stay. We can tell how many times you buy Millie Meal, what your preference is, and who your competitors are, and what, critically so, what are people saying about your brand? That, so we've got a set of tools that do the insights for us, and we've got a team that does that for us. So we come to you and we'll tell you that these are the challenges that you're facing with your brand, right? And sometimes when you tell clients that, they like it. Sometimes they think, yeah, we already knew about this. And then our follow-up is, okay, if you knew about it, what have you done about it? Because consumers are saying the same things still, right? When we do that, that is the first port of call. And then the next step is, how do we use those insights to craft a strategy for you around your brand, and how do you reposition it, to enable you to sell more Millie Meal? One of the key things that will come out of that is the data that you would have collected. If you've been collecting data for your consumers, we then would encourage you to invest in a customer data platform, which is basically a segmentation and a visualization tool for you, right? What it does is that it looks at all your consumers based on the data that you would have shared. It looks at that, and then it will segment them based on, once again, on their income, on their location, preferences, and all those things. And then when we segment, the next stage is that we visualize it. The tool visualizes it very, very nicely for you, so you can see the patterns as they move. And you use that to inform your marketing campaign and your marketing plans and your marketing tactics. Then you would know that I eat pap, or I buy Millie Meal once a month, you buy Millie Meal twice a month. So for all intents and purposes, you are the person that, so based on the business's goal or the marketing goal, will be either to retain you, to get you to spend more money, or to push me up, you know. So typically that is how we go to, and we actually prefer that we talk to the CEO or the CFO, because they sometimes see the return on investment compared to our marketing colleagues, right? So there's a whole advocacy that we're working on around how do we get non-marketing people to do marketing job for them, because the way we do marketing now going forward has changed. So that is the approach that we would typically adopt when we come to you.
I actually like sorry to cut you off. I was actually going to say that I actually like the fact that your preference is to talk to the CEO or the CFO, because I was actually going to ask, you know, who are you having, these meetings with? And you've answered, you've preemptively answered that question. But one of the things I was then going to ask is, typically then, what type of businesses, or I don't know if I can call it what type of business or what size business are you typically engaging with? Because at least from the outside, I would imagine that your larger corporates already are doing, you know, this type of work, collecting the data, analyzing it, etc. That's the impression that I would have. But you're the expert here. Maybe you can tell us, you know, are the large corporates really already investing in this stuff? Is it typically the smaller businesses that need this type of capability? What's the trend there?
Well, you are right and wrong. The bigger businesses for sure do have the data, but they haven't monetized it, right? So there's a lot of hit and misses. So the banks have done a great job. Some of the insurance companies have. The e-commerce businesses have mastered it. Really, they are up there. Retail, not so much. The retail sectors haven't done. So to answer your question, it's medium to large. Medium to large entities, because these tools cost a lot of money, right? So you have to either you would either have to plan and use your capex as an investment, because obviously you know the data laws in this country, so you cannot pass it on to us, right? We enable you to sweat that particular asset that is the customer data that you've got. We guide you. But the insights and all those things is done by us, and we sit with you via this platform, the customer data platform, to really monetize it. So typically, we'll be a medium to a large size business. The good thing in this country is that there's so many data points, you know, unlike other countries on the continent. So many data points, because we use a lot of card transactions. We do a lot of online purchases and stuff. But all these data that we sit with, and we've got a lot of solid research tools and materials around demographics and psychographics, but we haven't really packaged and monetized them properly. So it will be your medium to large entities, but medium in the sense that they don't have big big marketing budget, and they always looking for huge return on marketing spend. And so they will benefit more if they were to adopt some of these tactics.
All right. It's also very interesting, you know, to hear that, because I guess it comes back to that earlier point that we made to say data is only is good insofar as you can actually make use of it. It's one thing to collect it, but quite another to make effective, to make effective use of it. And also quite insightful to then hear that, yes, large corporates do have mountains of data, but that data isn't necessarily being monetized. The other piece then for us is then to say, When it comes to something like that, obviously the engagement is with the CFO or the CEO, and then that then helps with this budgetary issue that you're talking about now, to say you need the people that can actually sign those what you call this those particular checks, to make those decisions and actually the advocacy work that you're talking about, to say, hey, as a business, you need this, and then you then take it from there. The other one I was just going to then understand, because you've also given us some insight into the different industries, is for yourselves as Hive, what is your, in terms of operating footprint, where are you operating? Because you made a point just now about how there are great data sets in South Africa, versus other countries. Where else are you operating? And is it I take it from your previous comment that it's a bit harder, to access some of that data, some of that insights.
So we based here. We started from here, South Africa, obviously, and in the last 2 years we've been in East Africa. So Kenya, we based in Kenya, but looking at Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda. And here we quite fairly established. I wouldn't say we're very established. I mean, but we believe that with the introduction of our tech business, we're going to make significant inroads because of the skill sets that we've got, the global partnerships that we have formed, and indeed the tools that we have invested in.
Maybe, sir, just to drill down a little bit, maybe if you could just tell us a little bit about some of those global partnerships.
Okay, so we've got partnerships with Storytech, which is a content automation platform. So what it does is that it makes us really churn out content at the speed of light, literally. So we can take a big size video and customize it in a minute. We also have DeployTech, which is also part of Storytech. So Storytech is part of the Inspired Thinking Group based in the UK, and we've got these partnerships with both DeployTech and Storytech. DeployTech enables efficiencies when it comes to deploying like emailers and stuff. And then we have content automation platform partnership with one of the leaders in the world. It's called what is the name now? mParticle. We've got, and then on the insights front, we've got Global Web Index, Report Linker, Meltwater, BrandWatch. So that is both on the insights and the reporting front as well. And we then, in between, from a content point of view, we've got all those creative tools that enable us to do what we have to do. So some of them we've acquired, some of them are partnerships that we have created. For Storytech and DeployTech, we are the only partners on the continent. With mParticle, we are the we are the second partner. There are only two of us in here on the continent. And the other tools we have acquired and really mastered them properly.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment,
I like it.
and take on what people would typically consider to be a Western mindset in asking this question. When it comes to the type of insights data, the sets that you're talking about, one would imagine that all of this works a little bit better in more formalized types of environments and formalized economies. You mentioned earlier on that your market is typically your medium to large enterprise type business. How well suited is a data-driven approach to The type of informalized or largely informalized economies as we have on the African continent?
Well, the tools, the insights tools, really doesn't matter if it's formalized or informal market, formal or informal market. As long as you set the parameters for with the tools and you want to ask and you ask it to do the relevant things. In other words, for argument's sake, I mean, we work with the big brand on the QSR front, that is the quick service restaurant front. And sometimes when we do analysis on the entire informal sector, you know, when we started compiling reports, it was only the formal side, you know, on the competitors. But now the auntie who sells a maguenya on the side of the road, the auntie with a little trailer on the side, all these things we can collect data on them, and the impact, how they're eating into the market share of these so-called formalized businesses, right? So as long as we set the right parameters, the tools would answer, the AI built into it would give us the right answers.
And just from a collection point of view, maybe I'm going a little bit into the weeds here about the process, but when it comes to from the collection point of view, when it comes to, let's say, e-commerce, because everything is happening on a digital level, it's almost easy to gather, you know, all of these various data points from a customer profile, buying preferences, behaviors, all of that. But when it comes to some of the more informal things like what we're talking about now, is there a need to actually go on the ground and, you know, do some of those assessments? I guess what I'm asking is, how close do you sort of have to be, you know, to that auntie who's selling maguinya on the side of the road to actually gather some of that data?
Oh, yeah. So we wouldn't be able to, obviously, mostly it's a cash transaction and it's really informal, right? We wouldn't be able to collect those granular details. But what we do is that we'll be able to tell you that between Cedar and William Nicol, there are five of these trailers that are there, right? And such that also we'll be able to tell the vehicular traffic there and the number of people that work in the area, that then we can then make that the assumption or deduction that these your turnover would have dropped because of these trailers that are there. But we wouldn't be able to collect anything on the preferences and stuff like that because it's so informal.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, you know, when you put it like that. And I guess there's an element of deduction that does need to come into the equation to make that happen. Before we let you go then, Yao, a couple of things. Firstly, when it comes to taking on an approach like this and getting more businesses on board and using, making more effective use of their data in their operations, what do you think are the types of things that in the wider market could help to move the needle? What would, I guess, business people need to see or happen in the market for them to actually say, even before they come to you or one of your competitors, for them to actually say, hey, guys, you know, why are we not doing, you know, this type of thing?
So maybe if they start losing market share, right, that will push them a little bit. That helps. We are not the same. We are not one homogeneous group, right? And the sooner brands understand that, the sooner companies understand that. And firstly, that is your point of departure. The second thing is you have to find a way of collecting data so that informs the way you serve and your consumers. Because if I mean, if you, I mean, we've all got places that we frequent, right? And you go there not because, maybe sometimes you go to a restaurant, your normal restaurant that your regular, or it's not the best of restaurants that you wanna be, but you go there, they understand you. If you like me, you have your little corner table there, right, where you go and you go sit on it, and you know that you don't even have to place your order, right? They know what your preferences are and things like that. So if you understand that your consumers are not one group, and you have to, and that on that basis you're going to be treating them differently, that will move the needle for you, and you will actually see a huge uplift. We have seen it. Since we started this in what with one of our clients, we saw an uplift of about 15%. Just not doing anything, just ensuring that we served the people with the right content at the right time, on the right platform, in the right format, and also making them feel like they are worth it, right? They're not just a number. So those small little things are some of the nuggets that you need to consider, and not get into a stage where your business is in dire straits, because invariably, if you haven't collected data and haven't made sense of the data and use that to inform your marketing campaigns, you're losing money.
Lastly, you mentioned at the start of this conversation that you guys sort of started as what people would consider, a traditional marketing firm, and then moved into the world of data analytics and this approach that we're talking about today. When it comes to specifically this part of the business, because we're a finance platform, where I wanted us to end off is just understanding for Yao and team to make 1 rand in this economy, how are you making that 1 rand? Is it licensing on the platforms? Is it consulting fees? Is it fees on the strategies that you guys are coming up with? Perhaps an in-house platform that you've developed, as Hive. What's the business model behind all of this?
Like I said earlier, there are two businesses, the Tech Hive and Idea Hive. And so on Tech Hive is predominantly on the licensing fees and the consulting thereof, consulting fees thereof. On the Idea Hive side is typically time and resource, and also on time and resource, and obviously agency fees. So we've got a sort of a mixed model, a revenue model. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes we get our arms get twisted by clients, and you have to find a compromise. But that is the model that we've been applying for the last while.
All right. So that's where we end off for today. It has been a great discussion just chatting to Yao about what's going on in the world of data analytics and brands positioning themselves to better place themselves in the market, either to just grow on their own or to compete better, in very competitive markets. Making one of the big points that he made throughout today's discussion is the fact that businesses need to understand that their customers are typically not a homogeneous group, that they're different personalities, they're different different personalities, different demographics, different incomes and disposable levels, that people need to be thinking about when segmenting their customers and their client bases. He says that a couple of industries that have done this very well, include the banks and insurers, as well as the e-commerce companies. He says they have done very well and they're probably at the top of the game when it comes to that. But that there are a couple of industries that do have data but have not done so well when it comes to understanding and monetizing that data, such as the retail sector. I think that's one of the ones that he called out earlier on. Also getting a sense of how South Africa does in comparison with other markets, and he's saying that South Africa actually has good data sets, and we also challenged him a little bit on informality, and he said typically it doesn't even matter whether or not you're dealing with formal or informal markets, you can go out and get that data and make things happen from that point of view. Ending off talking about what's going on in terms of their own models, some of the partnerships that they have globally with some of the firms out there, and how they have applied their business model both in consulting as well as on the technology side. So that's it. We were in conversation with Yao Jumo, who is the CEO over at the Hive Group. Yao, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed day, Feather.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.